Now, early voting in Wisconsin will be limited to 2 weeks before an election, and you'll have to have lived in the state for 28 days before casting your ballot. Those are laws that were struck down by a U.S. district judge in 2016. A federal appeals court panel reinstated those portions yesterday. Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald, who's running for Congress this fall as a Republican, called the ruling, quote, a win for fair elections. He said it also puts communities on more equal footing with regard to early in-person voting. State Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler said the decision is, quote, an outrageous assault on our democracy. The ruling comes just over 4 months before the presidential election and as officials figure out how to hold that election amid the coronavirus. Patrick Marley is a state politics reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Patrick, good to have you back with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on today.
Well, this was a long time coming. Can you sum up the history of what led us here, Patrick?
Yeah, it is very unusual in how long this case took. The laws were challenged a number of years ago, and in 2016, a federal judge based in Madison, it was a very big lawsuit challenging more than a dozen state laws on elections. And the judge ruled in favor of them in some ways and against them in other ways. That was appealed, and arguments were heard on the appeal in February of 2017. And then everything went dark until yesterday. Normally, appeals cases like this take 6 to 8 months, maybe a little longer for a more complex case like this. But really, there's been no explanation why it took the court 3 years to issue its decision.
And this is an appeals court. It has a bunch of judges, but this was a panel decision of three, which is a thing they do a lot. And this was unanimous amongst the three of them, right, this decision?
That's right. Three longtime judges appointed by Republican presidents unanimously issued a 27-page decision after all this time, primarily ruling on behalf of the state laws, upholding the state laws. There are a couple of areas where they did rule in favor of the plaintiffs, but primarily it was a setback for the liberal groups that brought the lawsuits that had expanded early voting and changed some other election laws.
All right, there's a lot of bits and pieces here. Let's take them one at a time now. Early voting, what was the limit in this law that now, after this long-awaited decision, is going to be in place?
Yeah, this is the most significant part of the decision, I would say. The Republican lawmakers had put a limit in law on early voting to about 2 weeks, and that got struck down. They actually passed new limits that were similar, of a few differences. That got struck down. This court has put those back in place. So early voting in person will be kept to about 2 weeks. That's a big change for places like Madison and Milwaukee, which had offered many weeks of early voting while the previous decision had been in place. And so, I don't know how much of an immediate effect we'll see on that, given that so many voters have turned toward absentee voting because of coronavirus. But when things go back to usual and people are more likely to vote at the polls and more likely to vote early in person, we could see a significant effect on things like races for governor or state Supreme Court.
That's an important distinction you make. Absentee voting is voting early, in effect, but it's not what we're talking about. We talk about early voting. This is early in-person voting that's affected by this decision, right?
Yes. Communities in Wisconsin offer that in their city halls or their clerk's office. And some places like Madison and Milwaukee have remote locations. Madison has perhaps the most robust early voting, has it at every library and many places on college campuses. They'll continue to be able to have multiple locations, but they'll only be able to do it for 2 weeks rather than for the many weeks that they have in the past.
And can you talk about some of the back and forth, the arguments over this that both sides have had of, you know, local control versus keeping things even for everybody?
Yes. Yeah, so the Republicans put this in place because they said it wasn't fair that places like Milwaukee and Madison had this very extensive early voting and more rural places had more limited early voting because they had fewer staff members and didn't have the budgets that would allow them to have as full of early voting. The counter argument from Democrats and city officials in big places is that they have a lot more voters. There's more distance. The towns are geographically bigger. And so that, City Hall, while centrally located, might not be easy to get to if you live in the outer reaches of the city. The challengers who had challenged that law, part of their argument was that there were many different changes to election laws over the years that were affecting African-Americans, Latino voters, in ways that they had more impacts than white voters did, and that taken together, these things violated their voting rights. The lower court agreed. The higher court said that what Republican lawmakers were trying to do was win elections. They weren't concerned about the race of people's voting, the race of the people who were voting. They were concerned about getting more Republican votes than Democratic votes. And they said that as long as their motivation was on the political part of the spectrum, that they were allowed to put these changes in place.
Yeah, that was an interesting point. And this has gone up to the Supreme Court, this argument. You can make election changes to favor one party or another as long as it's not specifically favoring people based on racial status.
Yeah, that's exactly what the court said yesterday.
Talking to Patrick Marley, state politics reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at an appeals court ruling, a long-awaited ruling on election laws here in the state. As you said, Patrick, the early voting part of this was the big part. Not the only thing, though. This residency requirement change seems like more of a subtle point. What changes here?
Yes, and I would say that's actually a significant change, too. Wisconsin had required that you be a resident at your address for 10 days before an election. The Republicans had expanded that to 28 days, and the lower court had struck that down. This higher court put that up. So if you move in the month before an election, you will have to vote from your previous address. If you move from another state into Wisconsin, you wouldn't be able to vote for most offices in Wisconsin. You would have to cast an absentee ballot from the state you had come from. And if you move, you know, within your city or from one part of Wisconsin to another, again, you would have to vote from your previous address if it's fewer than 28 days before an election. So that, you know, for president or something like that, it may not matter. But for if, you know, maybe in one of the districts there was a hotly contested congressional race and in the other there isn't, you'd have to be voting absentee from the old address.
Democrats, the challengers here did wind up getting a couple things they wanted. What did the court agree with them on?
So one aspect was there was a provision that Republicans had put in place that would say that the dorm lists that are given to polling places, you know, polling places have the addresses of voters so that when you check in, they can ensure that you're at the correct address. They wanted that to include citizen information because obviously there's some international students at Madison and other colleges. The appeals court said they wouldn't go for that, that that would violate student privacy laws that have been put in place by Congress. And so those voting lists will look the same as all of the other residence lists that they have.
Is there any thought that, you know, this is a three-judge panel, any thought that this could be taken now to the whole court or might be challenged, I don't know, up to the Supreme Court, or is this it as far as we know?
So I haven't heard from either side if there's going to be an attempt to pursue this case further, but those are their two options if someone were to try to appeal. They can try to get the entire Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals to take it up and review the panel's decision, or they can go to the Supreme Court. Either is a bit of a long shot. It may be easier to get the entire appeals court to hear the case, but you know the Supreme Court hears a very small number of cases at any given time. Now, we did just have the U.S. Supreme Court rule on Wisconsin's election laws as part of the challenge to what the terms of the April 7 Supreme Court race were, so perhaps it'll get there, but so far nobody said that they're going to appeal.
And Patrick, with the election year and COVID-19, a lot of the hot stories in how we vote have been, you know, do we mail absentee ballot applications to a lot of people? What are deadlines for absentee ballots? None of this is affected, if I'm reading it correctly, in this court decision. Do I have that right?
That's right. For the most part, you know, all of this litigation preceded by years, coronavirus. And so that the issue of the pandemic is not addressed in the decision, nor was it addressed in arguments or any of the briefs that had been filed. This decision from yesterday really doesn't get into absentee voting. Now, as your previous guest was talking about, there's a lot of litigation over how this fall's elections will occur and what the rules should be. You know, the federal judge that is hearing those cases will be bound by this decision that came out yesterday, even though it travels a little separately. And so, you know, he may be seeing this message from the appeals court that it's reluctant to put any limits on or to change Wisconsin's election laws. So that will be hovering in the background of these other cases. But this decision from yesterday does not directly address how we run elections during the coronavirus pandemic.
And very briefly, Patrick, now that they've pulled this one out of the filing cabinet, is there another big election story or case you're watching for next?
I mean, there are these four cases that are before Judge William Connolly in Madison. We expect to see a decision in those cases. They're essentially being treated as one case, even though there's lots of lawsuits with lots of parties. We expect a decision by that at the end of August. They're not seeking changes for the August primary, but they are for the November election. And so, expect a lot of activity there, expect appeals there. The rules as to what exactly will be in place for November could change significantly between.
And I will leave it there. Thanks to Patrick Marley from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, bringing us up to date on a big, long-awaited court ruling from an appeals court on Wisconsin's election laws.